Amen. Please be seated. So, as we've heard already, today we are celebrating the feast of that great saint, Francis of Assisi, which in the recent tradition of the church has also been a day where we bless animals, of course, because of St. Francis's famed relationship with all of creation and especially with animals. It's hard not to be taken, at least for me, by that wise and simple life that Francis lived. That 13th century saint and mystic who indeed surrendered his privilege and his goods, literally stripped himself naked in front of the bishop, I didn't say that to the kids, and went and rebuilt a small church in the woods. In those simple, downward, mobile actions, he arguably challenged and renewed all of Christ's church across Christendom. And of course, in his spare time, as I already said, he hung out with birds, talked with wolves. So appropriate this morning. I can't help but be moved by that story. And I think that centuries later, in our busy lives, in our complicated lives, in our technological lives, there's something in the heart of St. Francis's story that continues to call us, to challenge us to another way of being. In today's gospel, Jesus starts out by giving thanks for a deep wisdom, a wisdom of things hidden from the wise and the intelligent, and yet have been offered to the youngest among us, to infants, he says. And then he follows up with a simple call to come and rest. Now that wisdom that Jesus is invoking, I believe, is something deep and ancient, as old as time itself. It's an upside-down, simple wisdom of God's kingdom. And he starts in this kind of complicated language by talking about the relationship of between him and the Father. But what I think he's getting at is that he is calling us to a deep wisdom rooted in God, rooted in this mysterious relationship, not into some abstract force, but to the God of Israel and into the Word made flesh, Jesus himself. It's a wisdom that places itself beyond any other striving we might have in life, striving for status or privilege or stuff. Now, those listening to Jesus' words that day, who were kind of the religious types, might have noted that he was actually kind of quoting from one of his own ancient texts, which we rarely hear read in church, but from the book of Sirach, which had been written about 200 years before. And I wanted to read it to you because it's so resonant around what Jesus' words are that day as he's speaking to the people. Sirach says, "Draw near to me, you who are uneducated, and lodge in the house of instruction. Why do you say that you are lacking in these things, and why do you endure such great thirst? I opened my mouth and said, 'Acquire wisdom for yourselves without money. Put your neck under her yoke, under wisdom's yoke, and let your souls receive instruction. It is to be found close by. See with your eyes that I have labored but little and found for myself so much serenity. Hear but a little of my instruction, and through me you will acquire true silver and gold. May your soul rejoice for God's mercy.'" And so Jesus, I think, is riffing off of that ancient text written a few hundred years before he was born. And he places himself in the place of that holy wisdom and offers himself as a very balm to people who, in the verses that are actually cut off before the reading today, he's so critical of. If we'd actually read kind of the 5 or 10 verses before, Jesus is saying, "Woe to you, terrible cities, none of you know how to repent." And then he says, "Listen for this wisdom and come to me, you who are weary and heavy laden." So in that challenge to turn around and change the lives, he then places himself in this ancient, ancient stream of wisdom and then says, "Rest." It's quite simple, rest. Come to me, you who are weary, who are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. For those of you who grew up with the Book of Common Prayer, you'll know that in many of the liturgies, they started out by saying, hear these comfortable words. Hear these words of rest. And week after week, we were offered these words. Now, in the Message paraphrase of the Bible, that come to me, you who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest, is paraphrased. And I love the way that Eugene Peterson paraphrases. He says, come learn the unforced rhythms of grace. What does it mean to learn the unforced rhythms of grace? Those unforced rhythms of grace, I believe, call us to loose the yokes of all those things that prevent us from seeing and living into Jesus' kingdom. It's as if Jesus is saying, turn back away from that which separates you from God, from the yokes that we take on to ourselves. Maybe it's the yoke of busyness or something that gets in the way of us actually following Jesus, and let them slide off of our weary necks because they don't actually bring rest, even though we think they might. And instead, take on the yoke of Christ that is light and easy. Now, I don't think this is advocating for a lazy or an irresponsible or an untethered kind of freedom. Instead, Jesus' freedom of rest is an image, actually, of tethering. It's an image of burdening, of a Francis-like surrender to his way and working with him to make visible the kingdom of God. Surrender, rest, come to know this Savior who is gentle and humble of heart. I invite you this morning to just listen to those words again and maybe even take a moment to breathe them in a little bit. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I, Jesus, will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle, I'm lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Take my yoke upon you, Jesus says. Now, Jesus, as a carpenter's son, may have known a little bit about yokes. A carpenter, of course, in Christ's day would make all sorts of things. They'd work on houses, but they'd also work on farm implementation, on yokes. And a yoke, if there's any of you who are farmers here, although you may not use yokes anymore, at that time was one of the most important implements that a farmer possessed. There was nothing more expensive, more valuable to a farmer than an ox that pulled a plow, that pulled that plow. And what would happen is if your yoke didn't fit properly, it would either blister the ox's shoulder or it would slide off and make that plow useless, and it could even lead to a crippling infection. So that image to the farming people of the time would have made a lot of sense. Take my yoke upon you. And I think they probably still would have thought it's kind of weird. Like, what does he mean? That's what we put on our ox. He's saying for us to put this on ourselves. So the yoke of Jesus, he says, is easy. And I just want to unpack that for a second, because that word easy, I think, can be a bit deceptive for us. That description that I made of St. Francis wasn't particularly easy. He gave away all his stuff, and I don't know about all of you, but not something that I'm probably going to do this week. So that yoke that Jesus talks about is indeed easy, but so many people suggest that the translation of the Greek word for easy there, krestos, is actually well-fit, tailor-made, easy on the shoulders. So again, going back to what the yoke was doing in those days, the yoke fits well. It sits right. It's not about an irresponsible freedom. It is still being tethered to the Creator of all, but it's something that sits well and beautifully. Christ doesn't promise us an easy life, but he does offer us a meaningful, deep, peaceful life. A life of self-focused ease, on the other hand, that focuses on personal comfort, is probably a way to collapse. A Christ-centered, personalized, tailor-made yoke is the way, Jesus says, to freedom. It's not easy teaching. I always hate coming in and the guest preacher and have these, it starts out sounding really easy, rest. And then you get into this, like, well, what is it actually, what's he talking about? What's the image he's invoking? So I'm going to ask you and ask myself, what does that mean? And I'm not going to answer for me or for you this morning, but I think that's the question that emerges today. I've just had a week where there's probably been more hours of work to do than there has been hours in the week. I don't know if any of you have had weeks like that. Some of you may not have weeks like that. But all of us, I do think, carry burdens, whether they're that kind of busyness or whether they're the pain in our relationships or the struggles in our lives, broken realities. And we don't need to go even into the geopolitical world to even talk about what's going on there, right? Are you wearied, burned out? Come to Jesus. His burden is light. It is still a burden, but it's light and manageable. The yoke fits so well. It is a yoke, but it's not a yoke of culture or religion or of rules, but of grace-based intimate relationship with the Creator of all things. I think our only response to that is, like the psalmist today and like Francis often did, to respond with praise, just like all of creation does. Praise the Lord from the earth, you sea monsters and all deeps, wild animals and cattle, creeping things and flying birds, young men and women alike, old and young together. Let everything praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. God has raised up a horn for his people. Praise for all his faithful who are close to him. Praise the Lord. So how amazing is it then that we can gather this morning to praise young and old, and I don't think we have any physical companions, cats or dogs here, but we bring them to recollection as well as they praise God too, if the psalmist and if St. Francis is right in that assumption. How amazing it is to lift our voices in praise to the one whose well-fitting yoke of ease that each of us bear this morning. So I'm going to conclude today with a poem. Some of you will know Wendell Berry, who is a Kentucky poet and farmer, who again, I think, one of those people who calls us to simplicity, to a different way of being, at least calls me to that. Some of you may live that already. But he has this great poem, and it's called The Peace of Wild Things. And I think because of where we've headed today with Francis and the blessing of the animals, it seems like a great way to end. And this is what Wendell Berry says. When despair for the world grows in me, and I wake in the night at the least sound, in fear of what my life and my children's lives may be, I go and I lie down where the wood drake rests in his beauty on the water, and the great heron feeds. I come into the peace of wild things, who do not tax their lives with forethought of grief. I come into the presence of still water, and I feel above me the day-blind stars, waiting with their light. For a time I rest in the grace of the world, and I am free. It is that freedom that Jesus calls us to this very morning. And so indeed, may we rest in the peace of wild things, in the grace of the wild world, but most of all, in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, who calls us to bind ourselves to his peace and to there find God's deep, deep rest. For this I say, amen.